Hello, everyone. This is Natalie, also known as Starscast. I'm supposed to have tonight Deirdre Haidt. She hasn't arrived yet, but not to fear, you know, no fear. You know me, I can talk, and she's done some beautiful things. Her book that I have in front of me is magnificent, but we will talk about it as soon as she comes on. So I'm going to tell you about a little bit about what's going on. Of course, you know, I have Stars with a Z, psychics.com. You can go over there and get a magnificent session with one of my very classy advisors that I have. We have specials going on. And also, you can go visit my magazine at mysticlivingtoday.com. And you can find me on Instagram under starspsychics.com. Not Star Psychics, just Star Psychics, you can find me. And I'm on Twitter, the same name. And I'm on Facebook as Natalie Sis, so you can find me everywhere. The lady that we're having tonight, I believe she's coming. She's calling in from California. I'm not sure. So as we know, things happen. You know, life steps in, and maybe she's having trouble with her phone. Who knows? But I'll do this for probably about 15 minutes, and I'm going to try to catch her on my cell phone, see if I can find out what's going on. I haven't received an email yet, but that doesn't mean anything. That doesn't mean she's not going to arrive. So this past week, what I've been doing is lining up all the guests. I'm into September. I'm going to have a I'm going to start with musicians. My new show will be musicians. So I've got somebody lined up. I did an article on him and his group a couple of years ago in the magazine, and I asked him the other night, and he said, "Yeah, when? When are you talking?" So I'm going to coordinate that with him. That will probably be in September sometime. And then I've got a lot of great authors coming. I'm talking with a producer friend of mine who's lined up so many for me. And she says, "Tell me who you want, and I'll get them." Well, you know, you don't say that to Natalie, because Natalie's going to have this big list. And she said, "I will fill that dance card." And she's so sweet. And then I met another lady who's also a producer out there, and she's connecting me with other people. So things are expanding on this show that I never thought I would ever do. You know, I did it with Maya for 5 years, and then I took a break for 3 months and started back. It was a little shaky for me, but right now, you know, I seem to be, I've got my feet on the ground. I'm looking forward to all kinds of new things coming my way, and the doors are really opening. Stars is doing really good. Stars is doing really good. It's got, I've got probably 50-some advisors sitting there. I could hire more. I mean, I have lots of applications, but I kind of just watch the ratio between the traffic and the advisors. I don't want to have an imbalance going on there, because then it's not fair. Some advisors are on full-time. Some do part-time because they have other jobs. And then I also have my magazine. I should talk about that. That has been around since, believe it or not, 1999. It started off kind of like, "Oh, here, Natalie, you can do it." Listen to my voice. Excuse me, I'm kind of raspy. "Listen, Natalie can do this." And I looked at them, and I was on my living room floor, and I was sitting there looking at all these ladies, because they worked on the site. They were on my planetstars.com. And hold on, because I think I've got her right now. Okay? Don't go away. Deirdre.
Hi there, here I am. Oh, I made it.
You gave me all your numbers,
Angeles,
so I got them, and I thought, I'm blabbering away. You know, I can talk for hours, and I'm saying, "Well, I know she's going to be here, so you're going to have to listen to me for a while." Are you okay? Everything okay?
Everything is great. Yeah, I'm just putting my, hold on, my earphones in. Great. Can you hear me okay?
I can hear you fine, just fine. And, you know, I explain, because sometimes life gets in the way, and you don't, can't do things at the exact time that you're supposed to, but never fear. You're here, and I'm so happy to have you. You've done so many things. I will tell you right off the bat, I'm going to let you do a lot of the talking, because this hour is devoted to you. I've got the little book of surprises, the not-so-little book of surprises in front of me that was sent to me by a publicist, and the photographs in here are unbelievable. And what I did, and I do this sometimes because I like to look at the cover, and then I like to look at what's inside before I read anything. Well, I opened it up, and I came to, "You are diamonds in the eyes of God." Well, that just did something to me. It's near the end of the book, and it's got diamonds and an eye, and the, so colorful, and they're sparkly. And it doesn't surprise me that I opened to this part of the book, because I've always been, you could say, attracted to diamonds, not because they're expensive, but because they sparkled.
Right.
Even as a little girl, let me see your diamonds, I'd ask the ladies, you know. And, you know, my mother would say to me, well, you know, that's a real good I'm not talking about the diamond, how much it costs. It's because it sparkles. So wouldn't you know, I opened the page to this one with all these sparkly stones right up my alley. Thank you, thank you. Beautiful. So I want you to start. Well, I have some questions. I guess we should start with that. Or you want to start. How you got started into all of this? I mean, it's tremendous what you've done. I have a dashboard here, and I have these little bullets of everything that you've done. And my, very accomplished you are. So how did you start into the field? What made you want to write? I mean, you've done poetry. You're a mystic. You're a guide. You have a story of awakening that maybe you can tell our listeners. I don't know if you can do that. And I know about your mom, and I read everything about you. Your radiance healing and radiance meditation. And, of course, I want to talk about this. I guess this is your latest book, correct?
Yes, this is it. This is my latest book.
Okay, and you have to, don't let me take over. I have a way of doing that. You don't want to do that. Just speak up. Okay, Natalie, it's time for you to be quiet. And you pronounce your name Deirdre?
Deirdre. It's like Dr. Dre with a deer.
Deirdre.
So,
no, I
Deirdre.
Like that. I like that. I like Deirdre. I like that very, very much. It's important to do the names right. So, okay, how did you get into all this area of writing? And you were a ballet dancer choreographer. And, I mean, I read all of this, and I couldn't believe all that you've done.
Well, thank you.
What's the beginning?
Well, you know, really the beginning is that, Natalie, is that I was born with a knowingness that we are all one. We are one with all of nature. My earliest memories are being in nature and really seeing the trees and the rocks and streams as alive, fully conscious, as alive as my own parents, as any human. I did not have the ability to differentiate that, let's say, Lake Michigan, where I grew up, was different than like my mother. It was like, it's hard to put words in it, but it was, they're the same. They're all people. Because I communicated with everyone. And I pretty much, I've stayed that way my whole life. And I was shocked as I got older to realize that people thought that humans were superior. And that nature was an inanimate object. I was in shock. I thought, my gosh, what is? How can that be? What? That's just shocking. What do you mean?
Exactly.
Like,
right.
I could not literally.
Now, how old were you when you
could not
when you realized it? How old were you?
About 6 or 7 when I realized that people
listen,
didn't.
You know, when I was when I was 6 or 7, what was I doing? I riding my bike. I didn't know nothing from nothing. So you see, at an early age, you felt all this energy, correct?
Oh
you
yes,
knew
I just I
that
came
it was
in
a part it. Of life. Everything
I knew,
you looked at.
And I remember we lived on Lake Michigan, and I love Lake Michigan, and I felt like Lake Michigan was like my mother. And I remember one day we went to Lake Michigan, and there was a big sign that said, do not enter, dangerous. This was one of the first, like, pollution scares. This is quite a while, you know, while ago. And there were dead fish, and I was probably 4 years old. And when I saw what had happened, I felt a pain in my body, like a literal pain. And I started retching and throwing up, and I screaming and writhing. And I remember my parents looking at me going, "What is wrong?" And I said to my parents, "My mother is dying. My mother is dying." And because the lake was my mother as much as my human mother was. I did not see it, and I felt the pain of that pollution. It's such a deep level that I could barely function.
Well, for such a young age, usually at that age. Now, you were born in Michigan?
I was born in Chicago. So we were.
Oh, okay. Because
we
lived
right
in Michigan. I'm from Michigan.
Oh, well, my family's actually from Sherwood, Michigan. So.
Okay.
Very cool. What part of Michigan
are you from? We're all connected somehow, aren't we?
Yes, we absolutely are. What part of Michigan are you from?
I was from the Detroit area. You know, I was born and raised there. Went to school there. Then moved out to a place called Livonia, which was a suburb. Mm-hmm. And lived there for quite a few years. And then my son moved to South Carolina, and, of course, I had to follow him. And that's where I am now.
Wow.
And you know what? I went back once a couple of years ago, and I won't go into why, but I did.
I love South Carolina. What part of South Carolina are you from? Are you living
in? I'm not far from Hilton Head.
Oh, I love South Carolina.
I'm right
on
the coast.
Oh,
well, you know, I always tell everybody Carolina mornings are the best. Are you in California right now?
Yes, uh-huh.
Okay.
We're in Santa Barbara.
I don't know what it's like in the morning there. I've only been there one time many, many years ago. But I know what it's like here, and everybody says, oh, it's so humid and so hot. Well, it does get like that later in the day, but in the morning, like 7:30, 8 o'clock, you can sit outside, have your coffee,
beautiful.
Listen to everything that's buzzing around, and it's the most beautiful time for a whole
beautiful.
Day. That is it, right then. And
yeah,
I wouldn't give it up for anything.
Yeah, it's just
no,
it's
would not go back.
There. We live
it really, really is.
About 4 years in Durham, North Carolina.
Okay.
When I was small. So we used to go to the beach and...
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Carolina.
I'm not far from Savannah.
Yeah.
From Savannah, Georgia, the border. I'm about 17 minutes away, something like that. So, you know, I'm kind of right hovering right along the coast there. And, yeah, it's very – the only bad thing is we've had hurricanes the last two falls. So, but, you know, it's – and I don't want to get into the weather, but, you know, when the weather is too warm, the ocean stays too hot. And it's like 85, 86 degrees, and that's too warm. And if it doesn't cool down, then that's when you get all the problems of
right.
It pulls in all this nastiness, and then we got to go inland.
How's the temperature of the ocean now? What's that looking like?
86. 86. Mm-hmm. The reason, too, is because we're in the upper 90s here. And that means that the heat index is way into the hundreds, like 115, 116, something
right.
like that. So you can imagine. I mean, you have to figure, well, the water's going to not boil, but it's going to be pretty nice and warm. So I've lived here now 16 years, and just the last 2 years we had bad weather. But anyways, let's get back to you. We don't need to talk about our weather, right?
Well,
come and
no,
visit.
It's important.
You'll see. Yeah, it really, really is. So you started feeling the energy of when you were a little girl, of everything around you. How wonderful is that?
Did you just hear that bell?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's so interesting. So I'm in my chapel, my meditation room, and I have these crystal bowls. And I walked by one, and it just like I hit it, and it just went off. And so I said, well, she wants to say something. So
that's really yeah.
That's so unusual.
It's quite
that
a sign.
Happens.
I'm all about signs and things that are presented to me, and to me that's a beautiful sign for both of us. I think.
I absolutely so. Yes, please ask me your question. I'm so sorry.
Ask your question.
Nicole is speaking.
Okay. Oh, no, this is informal. You know, it's like, it's not like being on television or something where they had a script and, no, we make this nice and comfy for you and easy for me. I guess I want you to define spiritual dance for us. What is spiritual dance?
Beautiful. Well, spiritual dance really is any kind of movement that one experiences or one has where you feel connected to the divine. So, of course, the Sufis have the whirling dervishes, and the native people have the sun dance. But truly our essence, who we are, we are a dancing mandala. We're a dancing presence. The first word in Sanskrit, or the first sound, is lila. And lila means the dance of the universe. The first creation was a dance.
Okay.
And by the way, that's also my daughter's name. I named my daughter Lila. And so,
what a pretty name. But your name is pretty, though, too, so that doesn't surprise me.
So dance is... In our soul. It really is in our soul. And when we allow our soul to experience movement, we become a creator. We become a creation of energy, and we are creating. And so dance is truly sacred. All kinds. And it really is just connecting one's heart and soul with dance. So it doesn't even matter what kind of dance. It's just having that connection. And so I did have a dance company many years ago, and my intent was to create dances that were an expression of the sacred and would bring people into a presence of being in a temple, a sacred place where people would be moved deeply. And it was a joy. It was a joy that period of my life.
And why did you stop doing it?
Well, I had my dance companies, and then I got a message from God, and God said, it's time to speak. So I didn't really know what that meant, so I decided to study acting, which I did, and I acted. But then, you know, the acting wasn't as fulfilling as I wanted it to be. And then I realized, then God said, no, we have enough actors. That's not what I meant. And so God then directed me to, the presence directed me to become a voice of the greater reality. And that's why I say I'm a mystic, because truthfully I'm a mystic. And what mystics do is mystics have the ability to traverse the cosmos and live in these alternative realities, and then bring back wisdom and knowledge, information, prophecy for people. And so I then understood that God was asking me to share with people my inner experience, which I hadn't shared with people. It was all very private. And that took a lot of courage to step out and say, okay, I'll...
It always does when you have to step out of your comfort zone, right?
Ro, I stepped way out of my comfort zone.
Or you're thrown out of it, maybe. Some people are just like, okay, you're doing this. When am I doing this? You're doing it now. Oh,
well,
really?
That's what happened to me. I was definitely thrown off the cliff. So I began to speak and share the knowledge I received in my travels to the other side as a mystic. So that's how that all happened.
Okay, well, you've done a lot of things, though. This book, I really want to get to this book, but now I don't want to forget, you've got something coming up in September, don't you?
I'm very excited because my
husband... Yes, listen, I got all the stuff on you. I mean, I got it all.
So I have notes
and...
Will,
okay,
Arndt,
so you've got
wrote,
the mystic and the physicist.
Uh-huh. Yeah,
so Will, and I have to explain who Will is. This is the co-author of your book, is that correct?
Well, he is. What happened is Will, who was the creator and the writer and producer for the seminal movie on consciousness about 12 years ago, What the Bleep Do We Know? And
okay.
He took my writings, my teachings, or my messages from the divine that I had the wherewithal to start transcribing over about 10 years. And from that, he gleaned messages. He came to me, he said, I feel that people need to read, they need to hear these messages. And I picked out the ones that I feel are important for our time. And we are calling this time we live in the age of surprise for many reasons. And our
appropriate is that
the age of surprise.
Mm-hmm.
So
I agree.
So the book is a book of not just inspiration, but really oracle of knowledge about what the tools are, what we need, where we need to be, to be able to master and thrive during the age of surprise, the age we're in. And so that he took my work and he choreographed it and put it together with the beautiful photographs of Indri Balog and made this beautiful copy.
I mean, I cannot even begin to express how beautiful. It's a big book, everyone. I mean, it's a good-sized book, hardcover. And just open it like I did and see what you go to. I mean, that's what I do. But you know what else is important for me is the book cover. Isn't that strange? Mm. We all have things that take us to a book, and I like to look at book covers. But then I don't really read it until I open it and go to a page, especially one like this that showed me all my diamonds, and I thought, oh, yes, this is perfect. All this sparkly stuff, you know, and I could turn another page, and I bet you it would be appropriate, and yes, it is. It's a beautiful flower that is in here. You just browse through this, and the little animals that are in here and the insects that are in here, but they're done in such a way that is really capturing. The photographer was just totally... totally beautiful as well. And, you know, right now what I'm doing in my life is I'm watching everything on National Geographic. I know so much about whales. I know about the bears and the lions and this. Giraffes are my most favorite. Everybody knows that. But I told my son I cannot believe what I never knew about the world. You watch, I'm putting in an ad for it, but it tells you everything you want to know. I'll have a question in my mind. And the narrator will say, and this weighs so much, or it's this long, you know?
Mm.
So, but this book is just, it just captures you. Just like me watching this National Geographic, but I think my most favorite page is this one that says, you are diamonds in the eyes of God.
Mm.
I mean, I could have that on my wall. I really love it.
So
this came to be because of that someone, this Will, wanted to gather all the words that you would say and put it in a book. Did you have the idea to do the book like this? Whose idea was this?
Well, I had, he said, I really feel that we need to take some choice pieces of your work, because I have actually like 15 volumes of my work, and it's a lot. So we were laughing. My son said to me, Mom, you can't publish this. It would be a 700 pages. Nobody could even hold the book. So we decided so I'm just going to pull out things that I think would people could get right now. So Will actually went through and pulled out, along with a team of people who are my long-term students who've studied all my work and studied these books, and they all met together and they all started to say, well, I like this, I like that, and they all started to condense and pull out these different teachings and wisdoms and blessings and poems from all my work. And then Will told me, I don't want you involved. You have to go away, and I'm going to put it together. And I'll show it to you when I finished. So I said, okay, that's fine. And then we had I said, well, we have to have pictures, and I really knew I wanted to work with Andre Balog because he's a good friend of mine and a phenomenal photographer. And so Will said, great. So he called Andre, and Andre just happened to have 3,000 photographs that no one had seen. And Andre said, we'll just pull out what you want. And so Will then matched up photos with these different quotes, and it was, he told me it was a magical experience. It was a mystical experience because it was like I had written quotes and Andre had taken photos like 8 years ago and they totally matched up. It's like we were creating this and didn't even know it. So Will put it together, laid it out, made up a protocopy, gave it to me. I was floored, and then I said to him, okay, this is fabulous, but I need to edit it. So I started editing it, and then we made the Not-So-Little Book of Surprises. And, see, the book originally was going to be the Little Book of Surprises, but Andre's photos were so incredible. We're like, we have to make this a coffee table book.
Right.
Because we can't not have people experience these phenomenal photographs. So the book became like 8x11. It became an art book. And so Will said, well, we'll just call it the Not-So-Little Book of Surprise.
Right.
That's how that
Right, happened. And that's true. That's really what it is. I mean, I'm going to be visiting my granddaughter, I think, on Friday, and I'm going to bring this over to her. She's 14. I want to see her reaction. I want to see her reaction to all these beautiful pictures. And then I'm going to show her the one that I happen to just open to and see. She's going to say to me, Gran, that's you.
that's you. So great.
She'll love it.
Kids love this book. I have to say, young people, they really love this book.
Yeah. I can see why. You can just look, and everybody that's listening and who will listen this week, you can just look at the pictures, and you get something from each and every picture that's in
this
book.
That's right.
I mean, it's true.
It
really, really is. It's lots
it's
of energy, and, you know, I'm always talking energy, and everything is energy, and you were talking about how it came together. Well, it was more or less like divine intervention. It was divine order. That it all be this way, and it couldn't be any other way, and that's what it turned out to be. But I'm in love with it. I really, really am.
Oh,
and I get a lot of books sent to me. I really do. And I didn't open it until a little while ago because I wanted to be kind of surprised. So when I talk to you, it wouldn't be something that I studied. And because I like the interviews to be like us talking, like we're having coffee somewhere and we're just jabbering away, because it's a lot better for the listeners to, I think they enjoy it and they know you're a real person, that, you know, we're all the same. And so when you talk like that, it just comes off better. And people are listening off of Facebook Messenger right now, and I know one in particular, she is, and she'll tell me right away, oh, you were spot on, it was good, you sounded good, it went well. I mean, and she'll tell me if it didn't. And so that's really good. But, now tell me what's coming up for you. I know you're going to be playing this Mystic and the Physicist.
Yes, so
we
are actually we got a call to come and give our retreat at the Kripalu Yoga Center in Stockbridge, Massachusetts.
Right. Yep.
And it is a beautiful, beautiful piece of property, 66 acres, dedicated to spiritual meditation, healing. It's absolutely extraordinary. And I'm really, really excited to be there. And Will and I will be there. And we will be sharing, for him, the physicist, the scientific information of neuroplasticity, how change, surprise works with you in the physiological way according to physics. And I am sharing the mystical journey of this awakening into the age of surprise. We're calling this the title of our retreat is The Tao of Surprise, Your Undiscovered Key to Awakening, Entering the Tree of Life. and I will be activating everyone there for your original divine blueprint for your soul, which is the universal tree of life.
Oh, that sounds wonderful.
And that's and I will be there. It'll be very, very powerful. And I've activated so many thousands of people in their tree of life. And, you know, when I get the response of how people's lives have transformed, it just, I'm just even more dedicated to bringing this knowledge, this ancient knowledge of the tree of life into our world.
And that's going to be on September 21st, 22nd, and 23rd.
23rd.
I have
and you
here
can,
my little,
oh,
find
yeah,
out. Like I said, I've got notes on you. They got notes that have notes. I mean, but really what happened is I got, you know, Betsy got in contact with me, but then Dia got in contact with me, and you were first on her list for me to talk to. And I'm calling her on Friday, and she says, I don't even want to call it interview. She said, I want her to talk to you. These are the people I want to talk to you. Isn't that nice? That's so sweet.
I love Dia.
Yeah, she's the sweetest. She might be listening tonight. I don't know. She calls me her beloved Natalie. And I say to her, I don't know where you got that. Yeah, that is so touching to me. Nobody's ever done that for me before. But, you know, I like to think that everybody that I talk to, we have this great connection because it's not somebody that I seek. I didn't seek you. It came to me. You came to me, and you said yes, or your publicist said yes, and here we are talking.
Yes.
So this is all.
I always,
yes,
I
you did,
yes.
And I read what you wrote, and I thought to myself, oh, I like her right away. Oh, yes, this is going to be beautiful. And people listening will know if there's a good rapport, if it's nice feeling, and we've never met. And I had other people on before, and some people it's a little bit more difficult to get that feeling with. The men are a little bit more difficult. They're more reserved.
Right.
They hold back a little
bit
more than the women who are most spiritual like you that have done so much. And so I have some other little questions here for you.
Yes,
tell me about, and I don't know if you want to even talk about it, your mother, what you did for your mother to extend her life. I read that, and it was very touching for me. Can you kind of share some
Absolutely.
Of that with us? Would you
yes.
like?
Well,
okay.
Thank you so much for asking. I'm so close to my mother. I love my mother. My mother was truly my spiritual guide, and she always believed in my my ability to receive information and have a supernatural experience, and she really protected me, and she was very, very supportive. So I depended on my mother because, you know, it's the world, at least at that time, was, you know, very hostile to any kind of phenomenon, so, one had to pretty well keep it under wraps. But
right.
when I was
You're right.
Just about 16, my mother disappeared. My father said she went to the hospital, and she came back 2 weeks later, and she looked very, very ill, and she'd had a radical mastectomy, and I was told that she had a year to live. I was devastated, and I was just devastated to lose my mother. So my mother was in bed for a long time, and so I would go in with her at night, and we came from a very agnostic family, meaning my father was a biochemist, a physiologist, a scientist. My mother also was a physiologist, but she was a poet as well, so she had a spiritual streak. She was an artist. But I wasn't grown in a religious family. There was no talk of religion. There was just about virtue, ethics, humanity, being a good human. But I would sit with my mother, and I said, well, I'm going to pray. And I was like, well, I don't really know how to pray, but I think I'm supposed to pray. So I started praying over my mother to have her be healed, have her life be extended. And as I was praying after a bit, I don't really remember how long, but after a bit, it was one night, and she was in a lot of pain, by the way. You know, she was on pain medication. And one night, a light filled the room. The whole room was lit up. And my mother said, well, who turned the lights on? And I said, well, I didn't turn the lights on. Maybe my brothers came in. So I checked all the lamps, and the lamps were not turned on, but there was a light. The room was full of light. We both saw it.
I had the same thing happen to me, but go ahead.
Oh, good. Well, see, I'm glad. That's always good, Claire. That's always good confirmation. And we said, well, what's this light? What's this light? And then my mother said, well, my pain is gone. I don't feel the pain I felt. And I said, well, I don't know what this light is, but I'm so grateful, and let's just be in this light together. And then from then forward, moving forward, this light kept coming and kept coming and kept coming. And my mother felt better and better and better, and then she got up, and then she started walking. And my mother lived 13 years longer than they had given her. They had given her about a year.
Okay.
It was, and that's where I, with my mom, we developed Radiance Healing, which became the Radiance Healing Journey, which I now give. When I get, like at the retreat, I'll be giving personal healings to everyone. And I've worked as a healer for, you know, at least 20 years. And that's where we first developed Radiance Healing, was with my mom.
How beautiful is that? Well, I'm just going to quickly tell you, everybody's heard the story, but I was really ill in 1983. They didn't know what to do for me. I had contracted a virus. It was about the time when the Ebola was out, and of course it wasn't in the United States, but my two doctors were really concerned because, you know, there are strains of things that come over to the States or go to another country, maybe not the exact one, but it changes. And he couldn't figure out, neither one of them could figure it out. And one night, and I know the night exactly, it was August 23rd of that year, I woke up and my whole room was lit in a golden color.
Wow.
The lights weren't on. I sat up and I thought, okay, what is this? I mean, I'm actually kind of mumbling to myself, looking around, no lights on anywhere. And it stayed like that. And I looked behind myself because I wanted to know where this light was coming from. And it was a crystal on my back wall, which was about 7 feet high. It was like a raw crystal. It wasn't smooth. It had the ins and outs like a raw crystal would be. That's where it was all coming from. And as soon as I turned around, and it was like I accepted it. Okay, that's where it's coming from. Okay, good. I went back to sleep. And I was working for a huge group then. It was a metaphysical group. And they were all saying, oh, that was, they kind of just said, oh, it wasn't any big deal. It was just to heal you. Well, it was a big deal. And I said, yes, it was to heal me, but it was also, I had to see it. Because I could have been healed while I was asleep. It didn't matter.
Yes.
But it
yes,
mattered that I saw it.
Yes.
I had to view it. For the reason being is that I would believe that I really saw it. It wasn't like I was dreaming. I was not dreaming.
Right. Absolutely.
I never, after that time, I mean, I had, you know, I had injections every day, and they really couldn't figure it out, but it attacked my liver. And,
wow.
I mean, the doctor said, well, this is all we can do for you. We don't know what else to do. And I had two different kinds of injections, and I went to them every day. I didn't go in the hospital because I didn't want to, because I'm not a good patient. So any doctors listening out there, no, I'm not a good patient. I'll be sitting up, well, when am I going home? You need to do this right away.
Yeah.
And so it took probably, I was already into this, and it probably took about maybe a month because I couldn't even stand up.
Wow.
And because I was so, you can imagine, hepatitis makes you very tired.
Yes.
Well, mine was to the max. I couldn't even stand up. So you talking about the light for your mom, and it definitely was mode of healing, massive healing, to receive that, it went away, you know. I mean, I recovered, and the doctors, you know, both had their, you know, they both saw me at one time, and they said, "What did you do?" I said, "I didn't do anything." Well, we thought maybe you were gone. You were going to be gone. Our hands were tied. It wasn't like giving you penicillin, you're going to get better. Mm-hmm. We couldn't do that to you.
Mm-hmm.
And so I didn't tell them anything about what I saw, but I knew what it was. And I've had other experiences later on in my life. I've not ever been sick like that again. Mm-hmm. I'm very, very healthy. I'm very blessed. But isn't it something, you mentioned that, and as soon as you said that, my mouth dropped open, I said, oh, my God, another one.
How beautiful.
How awesome is
that?
How
beautiful.
And
well,
that's really
what
I know somebody else experienced that.
Oh, I know. That's so special. So, and
it
for
is.
All of you who are listening, know this, that you have this ability to experience this light, to open this light into your life. The healing light is your birthright. It's here for you. It's here for you to heal your heart, your body, whatever needs to be healed.
Mm-hmm.
This light of pure generosity is fully here, and I feel it. The fact that you and I've come together, Natalie, and
exactly.
we both had this experience.
It's divine.
We're
it's
really
all
here
divine
to tell
people.
Who's
ever
mm-hmm.
listening? It is meant to be. Things, you know, synchronicities and things that happen in your life sometimes are to take you to another place. I would never have met you had I not started doing interviews. And then you meet
right.
this one and you meet that one and you get this instant rapport with these people. But I love people. I love talking to new people. I love learning what they've done in their lives. All that kind of stuff, but yeah, I am really, you know, I have a heart doctor that I go to because I have it's called mitral valve prolapse, and he sits me down and he listens and everything, and I had some tests done, and he said, "What do you do for yourself?" I said, "What do you mean, what do I do?" He said, "I cannot believe that you're sitting here and you come to me every year and you look the same."
Wow.
"What are you doing?" I said, "Probably it's what I'm not doing also." Because when I got sick like that, my eating habits, everything had to change for me because it was making me sick. So that's probably part of it. But, you know, I didn't tell him about the light. He probably would believe me, though, because he's of that kind of a mind. You know, he's new age and very, very nice. And I've known him for many, many years. But he always asked me that. I want to know. I'm going to put you up as a poster child, he said. I'm going
to
put you up there.
But you need to tell
he
him
said,
about
he said, because look at you. And I said, thank you. All I can say is thank you. And I'm very blessed. I know it. And it was
tell him about the light, because really, so important.
Well,
that
because,
understand.
You know, sometimes I'll see him again in February, and, you know, he runs these tests just to see if everything's okay, and he said, "I don't even know why I'm doing this." I said, "I don't know either, you know, why are you doing this?" He said, "Because I want to have it on your record that we did this and this and this in case." I said, "Don't even think in case, because it's not going to happen."
Right.
I'm going to live until I'm 90-some years old.
Good
he said,
you.
"Oh, goodness gracious." I said, "Yes, well, you know, I mean, but I'll tell you something, and your mother, if she were here, she would say the same thing. When you have something like that of a major thing happen to you, you look at life differently, and then as you get older and you're still around, you get a little afraid. See, like for me, I think, oh, I hope the shoe doesn't drop. But but then I throw that out the window and say, oh, come on. You know, you're doing the exact same thing. You are the same person. And so, yeah. But I'm so glad I told you that. I'm so glad you mentioned the yellow. I wouldn't have brought it up at all.
Well, that yellow light, the golden light, is in the Tree of Life, which I'm, you know, been working with for many, many years, teaching and bringing people into journeys into the Tree of Life. The Tree of Life, the golden light, is the light of the Shekinah, which is the heart of Mother Earth. And it's her her loving kindness, which heals our body. It's the energy from below. And the white light, which is the Father, the Ein Sof, the I Am, is the light from above that shines over us. And when we merge these two lights, the golden light and the white light, in our beingness, one can experience profound shifts in consciousness and the ability to forgive and the ability to perceive one's reality from a different perspective so that you live in joy and peace. And that's the beauty of these different qualities, these different frequencies of light. And it's just a lot of fun to play with them.
Yeah, it really is. And I can still see it. I can still see it, even though it's been a long time ago. And I never saw it again, but I've had other things, like I said, Jesus has come to me in a dream, and also I saw his feet and part of his robe. I was going through a difficult time. Everybody knows about it, so I'm not going to repeat it. But I've had a lot of experiences, some they could have been fatal accidents, and I saw something. And so things have happened for me along the way ever since that appeared. And I forget about it. And you know what? I really should remember it. I should have it in front of me all the time. Because not everybody experiences what I did or what you did with your mother. You just don't. You might have other things, but I was with this group, and, it was nothing. I wasn't happy with what they were telling me, and they were supposed to be these spiritual people, and I'm thinking, no, you guys are wrong. I saw it for a reason. It could have all happened to me while I was asleep, which was really beautiful because I was awake. And I got to look at it and stare at it. And you would have thought I would have stayed up all night until it disappeared, but I didn't. I just put my head back down and went back to sleep. Okay, it's there. This is good. Night. I didn't even, you know what I'm saying? You would have thought that I would have kept looking at it and looking at it, but I didn't have to. I got what I had to get out of it. And same thing with your mom. 1983 is quite a long time ago, and I'm still doing well. And I have to remember that light, though, because it was a very important time in my life for me, not for anybody else, but for me. So, Dan, thank you for that little bit of channeling that you did. Are you there? Did I lose you?
Yes, no, I'm here. I was just listening. Oh, yes, no, I'm here. I was just listening to your story, and I just went into this place of seeing this this alternate reality that that's opening up for all the listeners right now to bring people into this deep healing state. And it just, like, the doors open, and I was just right in there opening them. So I'd like to really invite everyone who's listening to just close your eyes and imagine that inside of you, there in your belly is a golden doorway, a golden door, and on this golden door is a inscription, and this inscription are sacred letters to the angelic ancient scripture of light. And here in this golden door, you have there's an opportunity, I'm being told, for you right now in this moment to reconnect and to receive a healing for your soul. So let's just look at this beautiful door, this golden door, and allow these flames, these words to just shine into you. And just imagine we're standing in front of this doorway as these letters fall into your face and your heart. And see if you can read them. Just, you may hear a voice, you may hear something that just tells you a message.
Right.
A message from
You know, I'm surrounded by all kinds of people that have all kinds of talents, and sometimes, you know, I have a huge group, and you know, I'll talk to God and I'll say, okay, God, am I supposed to just be gathering the flock and putting them out there and let everybody learn about them and all of that? And I really love what I do, but as far as what I can do, I do have this ability to make people feel really good when they talk to me or if they just hear me.
Yes, you do.
And I think that's my gift. It's my voice. I mean, I've had producers on radio shows. I mean, you could sell anything, Natalie. And I said, no, I couldn't sell anything. I'd have to really love it to sell it.
Yes.
But, everybody loves my voice. And so I think that's, you know, that's what I do. And I open myself to people when I see them in stores. Good morning. How are you? Can I help you with anything? If I, you know, I mean, like, I don't even work there and I'm offering to help. But that's just me. That's what I do. And,
that's your goal.
Yes, to open the doors for people, to make them not be afraid to talk to somebody they don't even know at all, not to be shy. I'm easy to talk to, and you know, I mean, sometimes these little old ladies, and they've got their husband, and she's trying to reach for something, and I stop, and my son is usually with me, and he's standing there kind of smiling, yep, there goes my mom, she's going to help somebody else. And maybe the lady is not, I'm not much taller than her, right? But I'm up on my tippy toes. And, well, thank you, my dear. And one lady said, you are a real angel. I've never seen an angel, but now I've seen one. And to me, that's one of the greatest compliments you could give me. Yeah, yeah. And it makes me feel good inside. It makes me feel so good inside. I would not ever want to be a different person.
No,
I'm happy with what I do. Well, and I'm happy with what you do, and I'd like to have you back on the show again. Maybe we can get into some other stuff. Maybe sometime after you do your thing in September, maybe we can get something together, not just about what you've written and all of that. I think the listeners would really love it. And also what I'm going to do before, well, we've still got time. We still have time. I mean, it's set for 90 minutes. But I'm going to post something in my blog tomorrow. I do it on Thursdays after the show. And then my magazine will come out for the August issue. I'll gather some information. I'll make you look at it before I put it in.
Okay.
I want your permission. But I want to do that. I want people to know who you are, those who do not listen to the show, but they can look at they can listen to all the shows I've done since the very beginning, 5.5 years ago now. They can listen to every one of them and learn from them and like learn from you, because everybody that I have on is different. I mean, they're authors, but they have other things. They have other things in this bag that they carry with them that maybe you don't even get to know. And I'm so glad that you told me some things, made me feel really good. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much. It's really an honor to be here. And you have such a beautiful soul, Natalie. You're neshama, Hebrew for soul. Your soul is what I'm seeing is your soul is one of the angelic presences of water. Meaning, you know, water purifies, it cleanses, it is a powerful force of nutrients, and you carry this beautiful grace of water wherever you go, the sacred water. So we're blessed
to
be
here.
Well,
you know, I always tell people to do things under grace. I do things under grace. You know, be happy, show that you love people. I mean, if I could stand on top of the world, I could do it, I'd fix it all. Because
I know.
There are so many things that are out of whack. It's true, I would do it. I have a goddaughter, and she calls me her fairy godmother. And I said, look, if I had this wand that was big enough, I would wand everybody with it. Because it's a beautiful world. Look out your window. It's beautiful. You have to know this. You know, and that's what I do, though. I spread goodness and light, and I just continue on just like you. You do it in your own way, and I do it in my way, and look,
absolutely,
we met tonight, and how wonderful it is, and I have to thank Betsy and Dia for bringing us together, because it was because of Dia. She told me that I had to interview you. Okay. Dia speaks, I do it. No, it's
thank
easy.
You.
You know, and maybe I can have you again on the show, and maybe we can keep in touch. I would love to do that.
Love
now
that.
That I have information on you. I would love that. And is there anything else you want to add to the end of the show here? We're nearing the end. I'm so grateful that I met you. I really
am. No, I just
really
want to
am.
Share with all of your beautiful, beloved listeners to trust yourself, trust your intuition. Trust and know that the presence of pure creation, the Creator is inside of you, guiding you, bringing you wisdom,
mm-hmm,
knowing, and understanding.
And don't be afraid.
Don't be afraid, yeah. Don't be afraid to listen to
that's what I just got.
Inner
don't
voice.
Be afraid. You take a chance, you know. Just what's it going to do to you? You know, just be really nice to people. Everybody you meet, be nice to them. And
right.
you, like I said, look out. Natalie gets her big one, and then I'll be good to go.
Absolutely.
I'll fix it all.
I have divine mother.
Too.
That's what she does.
Right. Yeah,
well, you'll get one.
Oh, it's been a delight.
You'll get one.
I knew I would like you right away because I saw your email to the three of us. And I sit down, I call Jackie, who does a lot of my copy, and I have to thank Candy Ranson. She does my marketing. I knew right away, I called Jackie. I said, I'm going to love this lady. And she said, well, how do you know? And I said, because I just know. I could tell in your email what it was like, and you sent X's and O's, which is what I do. And they're sent with love. All of that is sent with love.
Yes.
So we will keep in touch, and I thank you so much
beautiful.
For being on the show tonight.
Well, thank you
it's
for having
wonderful.
Me. Have a blessed night. Thank you so
yes,
much.
Yes, you too. You too.
Okay.
And I want to tell everybody, like I always end the show, believe in things you cannot see because they really are there. And that's how I end my show all the time. And I started that a while ago when I was doing, we talk on spiritual subjects, a dear friend of mine, and I don't think I want to talk about her because I'll probably end up getting upset. She was like a sister. But anyways, she said to me, why do you end the show like that? I said, because I want people to believe. That's the key, believe. Don't think that there isn't something guiding you because there is.
Right.
And if you believe and be open to all the new things, those doors are going to swing open and you're going to go through them. Maybe you won't like what's on that side of that door, then go to the next one. Don't overlook anything. And the
that's
synchronicities
right.
are there. And just be happy with your life and spread love to everybody. That's what you and I do.
So
it's
the
simple.
Most important thing we can all do right now is spread love to everyone.
Most
that's right.
important
that's
thing. Exactly. That's right. Well, have
well,
a good evening, my dear, and we'll talk soon, and I'll send you an email and all that kind of good stuff.
Beautiful. Okay, thank you so much. Thank you.
Okay,
God bless
you're
you.
Welcome, honey.
Good night, honey.
Yeah, same
bye.
To you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay, everybody, next week I have another guest. It's going to be, don't ask me now, his name is Chris. Where are my trusty notes? Anyways, his name is Chris. He's an author also. Here it is. It's Chris Van Buren. And we'll be talking with him next week. And then I think I may have a break. I don't know. But the interviews are lining up through September. And like I said at the beginning of the show, I'm going to have this group on. They're called Ravencroft. And who knows where that will go. And he, the leader, I call him the leader, he's just the nicest guy. And he has a beautiful wife, and they're always on Facebook and everything like that. So we're going to have him sometime in September if all goes well. And there'll be more people. And just keep watching starswithazpsychics.com. The banner will be up at the top right. And then also mysticlivingtoday.com. I'm really putting in the ads today, aren't I? Because I have time. And if you have anything you want to know from me, please write to me. It's stars, S-T-A-R-Z, C-A-S-T, at starspsychics.com or starscast, S-T-A-R-Z-C-A-S-T, at mysticlivingtoday.com. I answer everything. Nobody does it for me. Again, I want to thank Candy, Stars Priestess Candy Ranson. She's over on the site. And also Jackie, she does a lot of the copy and does the notes and all of that. And my dashboard is done by Candy. Candy, you're wonderful. I love you. And there's so many people out there that are listening. I know right now one of my readers is probably listening. Several of them probably are listening, and they're going to critique and say how I did. But anyways, that's it for me tonight. We'll see you next week, Wednesday, 8 to 9 p.m. And remember, believe in things you cannot see. They really are there. Good night.